All right, if you would turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, this evening we're going to be highlighting three I am statements of the Apostle Paul and looking at our own lives to see how well we can align with the I am statements that the Apostle Paul had. But Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And here is where the I am statements are of the Apostle Paul. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's go ahead and open up our time here in a word of prayer, and we'll dive into this passage. God, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach your word. Lord, I thank you for giving us your word. Lord, I pray that you would challenge each of us here tonight, give us exactly what you need. Would you fill me with your spirit that I would say all that you would have me to say here tonight? And Lord, just burden our hearts to be in line with your heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the I am statements of Paul. The first I am statement of Paul that we see is, I am debtor. You know, the Apostle Paul knew that he was a debtor. Now, who was he in debt to? Well, ultimately, he's in debt to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We know in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says that, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The Bible says that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have a debt to our Savior and our God. We belong to him, and we owe him everything. Now, the Apostle Paul, in this passage, when he says, I am debtor, I'm sure he kept in mind that he was debtor to the Lord, but he was, I think, probably emphasizing his debt to the people around him that he needed to share the gospel to. He tells us who he was a debtor to. If you look in verse 14, it says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So Paul realized that he was a debtor to every people and every class of people around him. We know that God is no respecter of persons. And back in those days, maybe there was a lot more respect of persons happening. Unfortunately, there still is throughout our world. But back then, it was really a big thing. But we ought to make sure that no matter where, we should never see ourselves any better than anyone else. Amen? everyone deserves the gospel just the same. Jesus died for everyone. And I don't know whether you would consider yourself to be wise or unwise, whatever category you put yourself in. We're debtors to the wise and to the unwise. And Paul recognized that, and he had this deep down sense of debt. Like, I need to get the gospel to these people. He wanted to come to Rome and wasn't able to because he was tied up on other missionary endeavors. The Apostle Paul was probably the all-time record-setting missionary, if you want to say it like that. He got so many things done, got the word out to everyone, but he always had this sense of a debt. I owe the gospel to others around me. Jesus has saved us from our sins. He has sent his Spirit to live in our hearts. We know that because we've put our trust in Jesus Christ to be our Savior, that we have eternal life. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? But you know, we can't keep that to ourselves. It's not right for us to do that. It's not enough for us to just call on the Lord and accept Jesus ourselves and then keep that to ourselves. We need to have that same indebted feeling like the Apostle Paul did, that I am debtor to everyone around me. I want to share the gospel with everyone because I owe it to them. So Paul realized that he was a debtor. Well, who are we in debt to today? Well, you could say you're in debt to your family members, your coworkers, friends, acquaintances, the general public. Who are the people that are in your realm of influence that you have influence with that maybe no one else in this room does, or maybe no one else will? You know, we talk about missions to the uttermost parts of the earth, but what about missions across the street? What about missions to the people that you work with on a regular basis? Do you sense a debt to the people that you're around every day? Do they see the life of Jesus through you? We are debtors to those around us. We're debtors to reach the entire world, but don't forget about the people real close to you. Are you aware of your indebtedness? So Paul's first I am statement was I am debtor. The next statement is I am ready. Let's read verse 15 again. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So this word ready here, I did not know this myself, but I found in a commentary that the word ready has two different Greek words behind it. This is from Wiersbe's commentary. I'll just read his little segment here. He said, this has the idea of being eager, this word ready. So it says, he was eager to visit them. Two different Greek words are translated ready in the King James Version. One means prepared, as in Acts 21:13, where he says, I am ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And he wasn't eager to die for the Lord necessarily, but he was ready. And then there's this one. The other one used in Romans 1:15 means eager with a ready mind. Paul was not eager to die, though he was prepared to die, but he was eager to visit Rome that he might minister to the believers there. It was not the eagerness of a sightseer, but the eagerness of a soul winner. Are we eager to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we ready to reach people around us? Do you carry gospel tracts with you wherever you go? You know, there's some people I've been with where they, in fact, there's a missionary, I'm not sure if you've heard of him before. His name is Dr. Tom Johnson. He's a missionary to Cambodia. Has anyone heard of him? Just curious. Okay, well, he's a medical doctor, but God called him to missions, and he's actually helped out the medical world in Cambodia. But also, when he has people come and line up at his medical booth, if you want to say it like that, he shares the gospel with absolutely everyone that comes into that clinic. And he also will, if you're with him here in the States, it's like, you know, you're going somewhere. Well, he doesn't care. He stops and shares a gospel tract or a gospel witness with basically anyone that he sees. He has like no concept of time, no concept of where you need to be. It could be kind of obnoxious sometimes, but you know, ultimately it's really convicting. He just goes and shares the gospel with everyone. He's very eager to do that. Well, are we eager to share the gospel with people around us? Do you carry gospel tracts with you? You know, God may not direct you to give a tract to every person that you see, but are you ready to give one when he does prompt you to talk to someone? A gospel tract can be a very good bridge to getting into the gospel, or if you don't have any time, just leaving them with that. And there are people who have read gospel tracts and been saved and gone into the ministry. You just never know what God's going to do with that. Are you ready to hand out gospel tracts? Are you ready to speak a word of witness when God asks you to? Are you eager to share the gospel with everyone around us? Are we anticipating who we can share Jesus with as we go on our daily business? There's an older, he's passed away since, but he was an older man, a country preacher, preaching at a conference up in Wisconsin when I was younger. And his name was Charlie Kittrell. And he would, he actually, in one of the conferences, there's a bunch of pastors in the conference. He actually asked, he said, "Anyone in here that has gospel tracts in your pocket, stand up." I'm not asking that now, okay? But there was several or quite a few people. I was kind of young at the time, but I still distinctly remember that a lot of people were very embarrassed. You know, they're preachers. They're supposed to be the leaders in, by the way, your pastor is not the only one who's supposed to go and share the gospel, okay? everyone's supposed to do that. But, you know, a pastor is the leader, obviously. So, I mean, they were very embarrassed that they didn't have gospel tracts with them. But this man said that when he went to the grocery store, he said, "When I'm there, I'll get some groceries." But he said, "Really, I'm there to see who I can talk to about the Lord. And while I'm sharing Jesus with other people, you know, maybe I'll get a few things from the store while I'm there." That was just his perspective. And are we eager? Do we have it burning within us and looking for opportunities to share the gospel with other people? It doesn't always have to be an emotional thing, but are you making a decision that I'm going to endeavor to share the gospel with at least one person while I'm at that store? Or setting some goals of what you're going to do in sharing the gospel. Are you eager? Are you ready to share Jesus with other people? You're probably familiar with that song, "Give Me a Passion for Souls, Dear Lord, a Passion to Save the Lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Though there are dangers untold and stern confronting me in the way, willingly still would I go nor turn, but trust thee for grace each day. How shall this passion for souls be mine? Lord, make thou the answer clear. Help me to throw out the old lifeline to those who are struggling near. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning the story of pardon to tell." My pastor said something in the pulpit once that I wrote down in one of my Bibles that I've had. I use these little Bibles and they fall apart from time to time, so I can't keep the same one all the time. I have one that has I think I still have the same one, but it has a bunch of duct tape all around it. So anyways, I don't have the same Bible now, but I wrote in the front of my Bible something that my pastor said. He said, if you want to get a passion, you get a passion for winning souls by giving yourself to win them. So partially in answer to this question in that last verse of that song, how shall this passion for souls be mine? Lord, make thou the answer clear. The best way that you can get a passion and be eager for winning souls is giving yourself to win them. Go and start to share Jesus with someone, and you're just going to be excited to do it again. Because when you start to share the gospel, God's grace fills your heart, His power steps in with you, and it is that working together with God. And as you talk with someone, you sense God talking with you, and you're just excited to share Jesus with someone the next time. But Paul says, I am debtor. He said, I am ready. And finally, his last I will statement from this passage, I am not ashamed. Let's read verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, what are some reasons that we might be ashamed? Well, I'm tempted to just ask for questions. Actually, I'm going to. What are some reasons that you think that Christians, you can say the reason yourself, but what are some reasons that Christians may be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? That was a question. Oh, amen. See, I'm from Wisconsin, so. All right, well, I'll give you the couple that I wrote down then, all right? So a couple reasons are, yeah, I'm not used to being here in Virginia, so that's good. Good for you all. Why am I even preaching? So, some reasons that we are ashamed, maybe sometimes is the lack of Jesus reality in our own lives. When we're not meeting with the Lord on a daily basis, sometimes we may feel like it might be hypocritical for us to go and share the message of Jesus with someone else. Well, if you do find yourself as a Christian strayed from God, I mean, there's a simple answer. And James 4 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And when you come back to God, when you start to draw near to God, He acts like that father with the prodigal son, and He runs to meet you. He meets you right there. It's not a time of penance or trying to prove yourself again to the Lord. As soon as you confess your sin, He is faithful. He is just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus wants to be close to you, and don't let this feeling of hypocrisy keep you from sharing Jesus with other people around you. Get right with the Lord, and honestly, let me say, even if you feel like your relationship with the Lord isn't that great, just go share Jesus with someone anyways. That'll help you out. So that may be one reason. Another reason is maybe a fear of rejection or a fear of looking foolish. I'm sure we've all felt that at one point or another, we hear of Christians in other countries actually being tormented or dying for their faith, and here in the U.S., a lot of times it's just if we're going to hand a tract to someone or try to share the Lord with them that maybe they'll look at us funny. But that's kind of about the extent of what's happened to us right now. Maybe you'll get yelled at to put a mask on, I don't know. that's a newer persecution we have. It's a fear of rejection. There is something built into our human nature that we're afraid that if we're going to declare the truth to someone that we could be afraid, well, what if they don't want it? What if they reject it? Well, if they do reject you sharing the gospel of Jesus with them, they're not really rejecting you. You got to remember that. They're rejecting Jesus. It's our job to go preach the gospel to every creature, to sow the seeds and God gives the increase. And the Bible says too, as I mentioned this morning, that Jesus said, "Say not that there are 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." There are people right now who are ready to hear the gospel of Jesus. I want you to think of an example just for a moment. This maybe has to be back in older times or something, because buildings today all have like sprinkler systems and stuff like that. But let's imagine that you were staying in a hotel room and you noticed that the building was on fire. And there was people that were still inside who didn't know that the building was on fire. Now, typically, if you were to go around in the evening when it's dark, or anytime really, and bang on the door and tell people, like, get out of the building, that would be strange normally, right? But now, if there's a fire in the building, that wouldn't be strange at all, would it? Knock on their door. Hey, get out! There's a fire in there! Get out! You know, and so you may feel shame if there was no real fire, and you should, right? But you know, there is a real punishment, consequences of hell that's coming for people who don't trust Jesus as their Savior. That's a sobering reality, but it's true. We heard this morning, the wages of sin is death. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. It is important for people around us to hear how they can accept Jesus to be their personal Savior and be delivered from the fires of hell. So you're worried about someone being offended? Well, let them be offended, but let them be warned. Don't be ashamed of Jesus' message. Declare it boldly. Very quickly here as we wrap up, these four points here are from Warren Wiersbe. There are reasons why we should not be ashamed. One is the origin of the gospel, and that is that it is the gospel of Christ. It is Jesus' gospel. You know, any message that got passed down from Caesar got the Romans' attention, but this message is from the Son of God himself. The origin of the gospel, it's from Jesus himself. Next, the operation of the gospel, it is the power of God. The outcome of the gospel, it is power unto salvation, and the outreach of the gospel, it is to everyone that believes. We know the verse in Revelation, "Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely." Anyone can come and be saved at the foot of the cross. Amen. They just need to hear that message. Amen. So, do you recognize, like the Apostle Paul did, that he was a debtor? Do you realize, do you experience that? Do you sense that indebtedness that you have to those around you, the people that you care about, the people that you see every day, the people that you could go out and reach out to? Do you realize that you are a debtor? And Paul said, "I am ready, I am eager." Are you eager to share the gospel with those around you? Are you ready to preach Jesus whenever it's possible? Are you looking for opportunities? And I hope you can say, like the Apostle Paul did, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Let's not be bashful about this message of salvation. It's the most powerful, glorious message that ever was told. Jesus Christ has the power to save us from sin. He has saved us, and we owe the message to other people. Let's close in a word of prayer. God, we thank you, Lord, for this commission that you've given to us, Lord, of sharing your message of salvation with other people. God, I pray that you would help us to recognize our indebtedness to those around us and our indebtedness to you. Help us be ready to share the gospel with those around us. And Lord, oh, please help us not to be ashamed. It is easy for us to be ashamed at times, and it's just not right. There's no reason that we should be ashamed of you or your message. And God, I just pray that you would keep this on our hearts and minds, and use us to see people saved even in these coming days. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.